T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WEEI Studios.
Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Let's go Celtics. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Brian Barrett Show is brought to you by Shaw's. Shaw's, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Network.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, well, here we go. Man, did that suck last night. How embarrassing was that for the Celtics? And really, I keep falling into this trap with this team, and I don't know if you're with me on this, but I keep continuing to think, you know what, this whole funk of this team cannot handle prosperity, eventually it's going to happen. Eventually they're going to break out of this, and they're going to win a game after they win a game, but it never happens. They continue to go down the path, the same exact path every single time. And I keep falling for the trap. Like, eventually this is going to stop, but it doesn't stop. I think back to the Heat series. Game 5, impressive win in Miami. Tatum's outstanding in that game. Oh, yeah, they're going to win Game 6 in the Garden? How could they lose in the Garden after winning in Miami? Now, Jimmy Butler comes in, goes for 40-plus, and you got to play in Game 7 against Miami. And, heck, let's be real about that. The Celtics almost found a way to lose that game. That Game 7 against the Miami Heat. Remember, Jimmy Butler's coming down the right wing, an opportunity for the dagger three. He misses it. This team may not even be in the NBA Finals if it isn't for that missed shot by Jimmy Butler. They continue to put themselves in these bad situations, and it hasn't burned them yet. They continue to come out on the other side, and it's a great quality that they respond after these losses that they have. And a lot of these losses are just downright horrible for a team that is 2 wins away from immortality, from being NBA champions. They have some of the most mind-boggling, perplexing losses that you will ever see. I cannot remember going through a championship run with a team here in the city, and I guess you can't really bring up the Patriots because they can't lose, of course, in the NFL, but you get my overwhelming point. I cannot think of a team that has bad losses continually throughout the postseason. I can't. The 08 Celtics, they couldn't win in terms of on the road, but it wasn't like those were embarrassing losses. Like, these losses continue to happen, and they continue to be the same damn theme. So what was your biggest issue with last night, and have you lost faith that this team can beat the Warriors 2 out of the final 3 games? 617-779-7937, the number. We're taking you all the way up until 6 o'clock, and then I get you later on for Red Sox pregame at 9:10. They're, of course, out on the West Coast. 10:10 start there. I don't know why any team plays night games on Saturday night. I like the afternoon games better. That's just me. But anyway, let me get back to the Celtics here for a second here. Not for a second, for about 2 hours. This is what pisses me off more so than anything else. If the Warriors beat the Celtics, and Steph Curry deserves a ton of the credit, obviously, he's been by far the best player in the series, and we'll get into that in greater detail. But I don't feel like here locally, that'll be the story. Like, you just lost to the Golden State Warriors. That will not be the story. The story is going to be similar to the 2019 Bruins when we're talking about the fact that the Bruins were the better team. They couldn't dispose of the St. Louis Blues. Patrice Bergeron couldn't win a faceoff against Ryan O'Reilly. Tuukka Rask didn't step up in the final game. The perfection line was not good. All that. It became about the Bruins, what they couldn't do. Not just that the St. Louis Blues beat the Bruins. And that should have been the storyline. The Bruins were the better team. And here's the thing, and here's the relationship to the Celtics team. Everything set up for the Bruins that year. Remember, the Lightning get upset. You don't have to play the Capitals. You don't have to play the Penguins. Here we go. Like, perfect road to get to a Stanley Cup, and you can't get it done against a team in St. Louis that you're better than. Now, look, Golden State has pedigree. They have one of the best players in the league. They have a two-time MVP, the greatest shooter we've ever seen. All those things with Steph Curry. Yes, I understand that. They have a championship coach, all that. But the Celtics are better than the Golden State Warriors. And the path set up for this team. You kicked the crap out of Brooklyn. Congratulations. You played a Milwaukee team that, let's not forget, Milwaukee was without its second-best player, Chris Middleton. Who knows how that series goes if Chris Middleton is actually playing? And I'm not saying that to take away from what the Celtics did. I'm just pointing out the fact that they have a golden opportunity right now to win an NBA championship because Chris Middleton didn't play. And then, of course, Jimmy Butler is banged up for a good portion of that series against Miami. Kyle Lowry is just a fat guy now who barely was effective in that series whatsoever. And Tyler Hero got hurt. Although Tyler Hero, from a defensive perspective, doesn't bring much to the table anyway. So maybe he doesn't help them as much as maybe you think he could have because he was really their second-best scorer this year outside of Jimmy Butler. But you get the point. This path set up for the Celtics, and they continue to have these absolutely atrocious, embarrassing losses. And it's the same thing over and over and over again. And it's they never can correct them. They go from two extremes to another. They dominate an opponent, or, you know what, they're killing themselves. And that's why I come back to this whole idea of it's not going to be about the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry beating the Celtics. It's going to be about what the Celtics didn't do and what the Celtics did to shoot themselves in the foot over and over again. They do it all the time. How many times have we seen this? Well, I'll tell you, the Celtics have had 6 games in the postseason where they've turned the basketball over 16 times. You know what their record is in those games? 0-6. 16 turnovers or more, the Celtics are 0-6. The amazing thing is they've done it 6 times. When they turn the ball over 15 times or less, they're 13-2. Really, we got to start figuring out a way where you can, now you can monitor on your phone, but everybody should be doing this throughout the game. Look at your phone during the game, during the broadcast, to figure out how many turnovers they have, because if they get to that 16 threshold, they are going to lose. It's 100% of the time so far in the postseason, but they continually do it. And it's soft turnovers. It's inexplicable turnovers where they're just basically throwing the ball to the Golden State Warriors, or like Jaylen Brown at the end of the game, he just drops the ball out of bounds. What is that? At one point, Jaylen Brown is getting covered by Bielitsa, and he dribbles it off his own foot. And look, Brown was not the problem as it pertains to the turnovers. That was more about Tatum last night. 4 live ball turnovers, just throws the ball away. And it continues to happen with this team. I don't know how a team this good continues to have the same issue time and time again. And you just look at the numbers from last night, and you start to look at the Rockets in terms of the worst turnover team in the NBA this season. Well, the Celtics last night, their turnover percentage was 16.3%. They turned the basketball over on 16.3% of their possessions. The Rockets were at a league worst this year, 16.2%. So they were worse than the Rockets, who were 30th in the NBA, who were tanking. The Rockets were trying to lose games this season. Last night, the Celtics were worse than them turning the basketball over when the Rockets suck and they're trying to lose games. That's how bad the Celtics were as it pertains to protecting the basketball. It's just flat out embarrassing. And it continues to happen time and time again. Why does this continue to happen? And look, I get it. They don't have a traditional point guard, all that different type of stuff. I get all those things. But how can a team be this reckless and this careless with the basketball when everything is aligned for you? An opportunity to go up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, here's the reality of it. They're not a great half-court team in terms of their offense. They're not. That's the reality. They're great in transition. And here's the problem with the turnovers. What happens when you turn the ball over against the Warriors? It's a domino effect. First of all, you screw yourself over, especially the live ball turnovers, which we saw plenty of those last night. 10 of the Celtics' 16 turnovers were live ball. They had 15 the other night in their game 2 loss. But here's what happens when you do that. First of all, the Warriors are one of the best transition teams in the NBA. So they're getting an easy dunk from a guy like Wiggins, or Steph Curry's hitting a 3. So they score on the other end. And here's the thing. We all know the Celtics, their offense, their half-court offense, it's kind of stale, wouldn't you say? It gets kind of stale. So then you let the Warriors set up their defense, rather, and you have to go up against a set defense when we know, at times, the Celtics have struggled to score in the half-court throughout the postseason. So it's a domino effect to all that. you're making life way more difficult on yourself than it needs to be. I get it. The Celtics are never going to be like the cleanest team as it pertains to turnovers. They're never going to be that. I understand that they don't have a traditional point guard, but they can't be playing worse than the Houston Rockets. And it continues to happen. You look at it. The Warriors need the turnovers to beat the Celtics. And this is with Steph Curry going nuts. Steph Curry went absolutely nuts last night. 43 points. The guy went absolutely bonkers, and you still should have won the game if it isn't for the dumbass turnovers that this team continues to have time and time again. So if you look at the Warriors in their two wins, they have 52 points off of Celtics turnovers. 52. 33 in that game two. 33. I mean, it's almost laughable. 33 points they gave up on their own turnovers in game two. And then last night, it was, what, 19? So you look at it on the series, 52 points off the Celtics turnovers in those two losses for the Celtics. So the Warriors, in the two wins they've had, they've scored 214 points. So if you do the math on that, that means in the Warriors' wins against the Celtics, 24.3% of their points are coming off Celtics turnovers. Think about that for a second. Just about a quarter of the points that the Warriors are scoring against the Celtics are coming off their own turnovers. Now, there is bigger issues that I want to get into throughout the night here in terms of stuff that the Celtics can do better and stuff that the Warriors are doing really well, all that. But the bottom line is this. The evidence bears itself out. If the Celtics don't turn the basketball over at a crazy rate, they win. I'm not even asking you to be great in terms of it. Like, Atlanta led the league in terms of protecting the ball the best. I'm not even asking you to do that. I'm just asking you, can you not be as bad as the Houston Rockets? That's all we're asking for. Do not be as bad as the Houston Rockets. And the thing that really aggravates you are the self-inflicted wounds. Some of these passes dribbling off your foot. How many times are we going to see this throughout the postseason? It's really alarming to just watch every game. It's the same damn thing over and over and over again. 25, nearly 25% of their points are coming off your turnovers. Unbelievable. And then you just start to look at the end of the game there. You know what that reminded you of was the Celtics at the beginning of the season. They looked absolutely clueless at the end of the game. They got tight and the Warriors felt comfortable. I really felt like after you had, what was it, the Marcus Smart three, I really felt like the Celtics were going to take control of that game. And then they just took some dumbass shots. They didn't get to the basket whatsoever. And another thing I would point to is this. They found something that was working for them throughout the game. That was Jaylen Brown attacking either Poole or Curry and getting that switch. But at the end of the game, Jaylen Brown has the ball and a screen is being set for him with Poole's defender and he doesn't go at him. He rejects the screen. They're giving you an advantageous matchup and he rejects the screen. I just can't comprehend it. I can't understand it with this team where they continue to make dumbass mistake after dumbass mistake. And that's the whole thing I have. That's the whole issue I have with this team. It's an unbelievable team from a talent perspective. They have the best defense in the NBA this season. And they continue to hurt themselves. The Warriors need your help. And the Celtics, in the two games they have lost, they have provided more than enough help from the Warriors, or to the Warriors, I should say. 52 points off Celtics turnovers the Warriors have in their two wins. It is mind-boggling. It is, quite frankly, it's unacceptable. And we're going to look back at the Celtics cannot get it done, and you're going to have to win at least one game in San Francisco. Not that I think that's an intimidating place or anything along those lines, but you could have taken a stranglehold on this series. You blow this game last night. Steph Curry was absolutely outstanding. And now you have to say, okay, well, the Celtics can only have one bad turnover game left. Only one of them. They cannot have two bad turnover games or they will lose. And here's the issue that I have right now and the question I have right now. How can you be confident that they won't do it? I was getting there last night. I thought they would win this game. But how can you be confident that they will not turn the basketball over? Because it continually happens. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 6 o'clock. All right, we will get into Marcus Smart's comments after the game. Last night, those were very interesting. A subtle shot at Jason Tatum. Plus, what the hell has happened to Jason Tatum in the series? And why, if the Celtics lose, it will be on Tatum. I'll tell you why next here on EEI.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trending now is brought to you by McDonald's. Download the app, join My McDonald's Rewards, and start earning points good for free food every time you order. Excludes delivery, download, and registration required. I don't know what's going on. You notice we have a lot of creatures, Stiz, in here. Like, what is going on with these?
Yeah,
like,
there is a giant bug flying around.
Yeah, there are things that are flying around in here like crazy. This has been going on for like a week and a half now. I think they're moths.
Just, oh, it's definitely a moth.
Yeah,
it is one of the biggest ones I've ever seen.
These things are massive. All right, anyway, the NBA Finals now tied 2-2. The Warriors topped the Celtics 107-97 at the Garden last night. How about this? Golden State outscored the Seas 28-19 in the fourth quarter. I'm not kidding. Steph Curry, 43. He hit 7 threes. Oh, my God. This guy, dude, he is unconscious right now. Jason Tatum, 23, but he was 8 of 23 from the field. He turned the ball over 6 times. Jaylen Brown, 21 points. Game 5 is going to be Monday night in San Francisco. The Sox beat the Mariners 4-3 last night. That was the good news last night. After the Celtics loss, I watched the end of the Red Sox game. I believe that game ended at 1:53 a.m., so I stayed up for that one at least, and it was a win. Bobby Dalbec, J.D. Martinez, homer. Tanner Houck picked up the save. That was interesting, seeing Tanner Houck in the ninth inning. Rich Hill, 4 1/3, surrendered 2 earned. Both those came via a 2-run blast from Jesse Winker, but Hill threw the ball well last night overall. The Sox and the Mariners play the second of their 3-game set tonight in Seattle. 10:10 first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. You can tune into the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 9:10. It's sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Michael Wacha gets the ball in that one. He's opposite George Kirby. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, ugly one at the Garden last night. So do you have any faith in this Celtics team taking 2 out of 3? And the other question is, why can't they handle prosperity? Why can't they follow up one good performance with another good performance? 617-779-7937 is the number. I did want to mention this real quickly. So Steph Curry has been downright dominant in the series. There's no way around that. And I'll get into one issue I've had with the way they're handling Steph Curry in the series at a second here. But I want to mention this. Steph Curry in the second half of this game, he was 7 of 11 from the field. That's 63.6%. He was 5 of 6 from three-point territory. That's 83.3%. He had 24 points in the second half. The Celtics stars, Tatum and Brown, were 6 of 20, 30%, 1 of 8 from 3, 12.5%, and they had 16 points. So Steph Curry, by himself, scored 8 more points than the Celtics stars. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum right now are getting beaten by a one-man show. That's the reality of what's going on. Steph Curry is outplaying both of them right now, and it's not really remotely close. He has been, by far, without question, the best player in the series. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both laid an egg in the second half of this game. I felt like Jaylen Brown came out with the right amount of energy, and Jason Tatum played pretty well in the first quarter as well, and then he just completely fell apart. but you're letting this one dude basically beat your team. They made a couple of nice adjustments last night. Like, they benched Draymond Green and went with Looney more in the fourth quarter, and that sort of worked out for the Warriors. I get all that. And the big thing there was Klay Thompson held up on Jaylen Brown, which had not happened throughout the series. It's part of the reason that Steve Kerr made the adjustment to put Draymond on Jaylen Brown. But Klay Thompson, give him credit, he held up on Jaylen last night. But the overwhelming point is your two stars have got to be better. Steph Curry has been absolutely potent from three-point territory. The best shooting performance we've seen in the history of the NBA Finals. But the Celtics' two stars have not been nearly good enough. Especially Tatum. 617-779-7937 the number. Let's kick it off today with Wayno in South Boston. Wayno.
Barrett, the best man in the radio business and the smartest man in radio business. I got to give it to you, brother. You are good. But listen. Last night was, I don't know, it looked like a fairy tale in my mind or something. They look so stupid. How many times did they throw the ball away? And do they know? Want to know how they're going to win? Listen, very easy, Celtics. Double cover Curry. Okay, let the other guy score. They may get 19 points. They're not going to get 43. And freaking, what's his name, Tatum. Stop taking the ball and you want Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and try to keep throwing it in. They smack it in your face. That's what we need to stop, and we need to do that, Brian. What do you think?
Yeah, they got to mix up their coverages on Curry. I feel like they're trying to do it. But with all that being said, Wayne, even with as great as Curry played last night, the Celtics still had an opportunity to win. If they don't turn the basketball over, they win both these games.
They went dry with 3 minutes left. They look like idiots throwing the ball every which way.
Yeah, they got tight.
Their little quick things they throw around all the time and miss. Like, what is that? Just play the game normal. Stop trying to make a new, like, oh, yeah, look at this pass I did over there under his legs. They threw the ball away, like you said, 12 times or more than that last night, right?
It was 16.
One thing, Brian, remember this, and I've been counting them. Every time, I said it was going to seven. Every time, so add it up. Who won the first game?
Of the series?
Celtics, right?
Yeah, they won game one and three.
Celtics won the first game.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Then the Warriors won, right? Then the Celtics won. Then the Warriors won.
Yep.
So when we get to seven, guess what seven is?
Celtics?
It's the Celtics, like in all their other games. That's how it's coming out.
All right.
The only team they dominated was the Nets.
Yeah.
They beat Milwaukee by being smart.
I don't think so. I mean, remember that game five against Milwaukee? That wasn't a very intelligent game for the Celtics. They got out-rebound. The Bucks missed 12 shots. They gave up a free throw rebound for the Bucks to be able to win that game and box out Bobby Portis. What?
This guy is their best ever, Steph. You got to treat him like that. Put Robert Williams on him, bumping him around a little.
I mean, they did last night, Wayne, and he torched him.
He torched
everybody. Wayne, I appreciate the call, Wayne, but it didn't matter last night who they put on Steph Curry. He torched everybody. He scored on seven different Celtics, 1 of 1 on Jaylen, 3 of 6 on Al, 1 of 4 on Smart. Smart did a relatively good job on him again. Tatum, 3 of 6. White, 4 of 7. Robert Williams, 2 of 3. Grant Williams, 1 of 1. 3 points against Grant, 5 against Rob, 10 against White, 10 against Tatum, 4 against Smart, 9 against Horford, 5 against Jaylen. Everything they tried to do last night, it didn't work. There were times last night where they showed and doubled and he got rid of the ball. That's part of what happened last night. They were trying to switch up their coverages on Steph Curry. He's just destroying everything. I have not seen a single player do this to the Celtics. Like, if you look at the numbers throughout this postseason run, Giannis was throwing up 40-point games against the Celtics. Jimmy Butler had 40-point games. The reality, though, is the Heat and the Bucks both had, in terms of their offensive rating in those series, worse than the Celtics held them to better than their regular season rating in terms of the Celtics led the league with a 106.2 defensive rating. The Bucks and the Heat put up offensive ratings under that. So with Giannis and with Butler going crazy, their offenses still weren't efficient. Steph Curry, it's totally different. He has completely ruined and bent the Celtics defense. I don't know how many other things Ime Udoka can try. If you just want to double the ball, they're going to play 4-on-3 the entire game. And at times when they have played 4-on-3, they've been getting good shots out of it. So it's a really difficult proposition. I just look at the other side of this. This Steph Curry game is an afterthought. It's the Julio Jones catch if the Celtics just don't play careless down the stretch, reckless down the stretch, and they continue to turn the basketball over. This should have been the Julio Jones catch. Steph Curry's performance last night, but the Celtics continually turn the basketball over. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Charlie in Boston. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
They should have, honestly, the Celtics should have lost by like 40 points yesterday. Like, they just should have. But the fact that they were still in it, like, everything went right for the Warriors. Everything went wrong for the Celtics. But, I mean, and again, it's their own fault. I feel like the Warriors didn't win the game. The Celtics just lost it. So that's how I feel. But there's one thing that drives me crazy. And it's so with the two stars, right? You got Jaylen and Jason.
Yep.
It feels like when Jaylen goes to the bucket, he goes to the bucket with the intention of scoring. I feel like with Tatum, it's 50-50 on whether he's going for the bucket or just trying to get a foul. And when he tries to get that foul, when they get the ball, they always turn it over on those plays. And he's just standing there screaming, flailing his arms. They always score on it. Like, he just needs to go to the bucket, forget the refs, forget the fouls, try and score.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Charlie, in the sense, like, Tatum, if you go back to game three, he was actually getting to the rim and he was extending the ball out and he was looking to score. He does do that way too much where he gets in there amongst the trees, so to speak, and he's looking for contact instead of just trying to finish. I don't know if that's something where in the Bucks series he kind of got spooked out from it because of the big guys, the Lopez's, the Giannis's of the world. But sometimes he has opportunities to just go up and he's seeking out the contact, which to me, he doesn't need to do all the time. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's a weird thing for me, too, and it drives me crazy to watch. And it also happens with Smart, too, where he feels some like pressure, and then all of a sudden he's like flailing his arms trying to get the foul, and it's
oh,
just,
yeah.
He's picked him clean.
And then he
and
screams.
So
he's like, hey, hey! Yeah, like, exactly. He's not even touching. He just starts, hey! Like, what are you talking about, man? Like, I don't understand why he does that either. He, like, will legitimately, he'll have a layup, and he'll jump into the defender. It doesn't make any sense.
It drives me crazy. So if they just get rid of that, that's like actually probably six or seven of the turnovers last night. Just get rid of that. Just play the game. Stop focusing on the refs and try and score the ball.
I'm with you, Charlie. I appreciate the call, man. And that's another thing that irritates me. There was one moment I can remember last night where Tatum didn't get a call. And again, he's complaining to the official. And this is something I tried to avoid. I didn't want to complain about this early on in the postseason, but it's gotten to the point where it's just downright embarrassing. He's got to stop doing this, where he doesn't get a call, and then he's arguing with the official on the other end, and he's not getting back on defense. That crap cannot happen, and he continues to do it. And I know Ime Udoka has tried to coach that out of him, but clearly it's not working. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Robert. He's in Lowell. Robert, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
First of all, I have to say, last Saturday, I was listening to this program. I don't know if it was you. You may have been with someone else. But someone was saying, well, if we compare Tatum in his prime to, I don't know if it was Steph Curry or not, but I'm thinking the premise of the question was so foolish because Tatum has not reached his prime. He's 24 years old.
All right, Robert, hold on a second, Robert. Robert, I don't know what question you're talking about, so I'm not going to rebuttal to something that I didn't talk about to compare Steph Curry and Jason Tatum. I didn't do that.
Yes.
I don't know who you're arguing with. It seems like a straw man argument. Okay. Who is your argument with?
Well, I'd rather just make a point than an argument.
Okay.
First of all, I do find your commentary, I'm impressed with your you know the numbers, you know the stats, the conclusions, but I do find you overly negative to listen to. I mean, I don't know what you, if you're on the air on the day after they win a game, what you say. But this team has not reached its consistency yet. I would assume if they do win the championship, they will probably be one of the youngest championship teams in history. So my point is, the Celtics are still a volatile team. There are probably some things that aren't working, but I still have not given up hope that they can win this championship, which I think will be unbelievable. And you're right, you know, if they have over 16 turnouts turnovers in the next game, they're going to lose.
Well,
but we've seen them play some very clean games, and they win.
Robert, that's my whole frustration. We've seen them play well and not turn the ball over like crazy, and it's not as if the Warriors are playing incredible defense where they're just taking it away from the Celtics. It's the careless turnovers that aggravate me. So that's why I'm negative today, Robert, is we all point out throughout the postseason what their biggest issue is. It's turning the basketball over. Why does it continue to happen? I just can't comprehend it.
Well, I think we're still in a maturing process. We are a young championship contender. And I think, you know, maybe, I don't know how old you are, but I would say, as someone probably much older than you, let's just have a little patience and let's hope for the best. And I don't think I think we can analyze without trashing.
Robert, look, I understand your point. Yeah, I understand your point. But here's the reality. What I'm doing right now is a radio show the day after the Celtics lost game four of the NBA Finals. That was embarrassing in terms of turning the basketball over. We cannot have a broad view in terms of what the Celtics are going to be the next 4 or 5 years. We can have those conversations when the season concludes. But in the meantime, in the right now, the storyline of this series, if the Celtics do not win, is going to be they shot themselves in the foot. That's the reality. That's what's going to happen. We're going to talk about the fact that look at all these games that the Celtics had 16 turnovers. Look at their first two losses of the series. The Warriors went up and down the court off the Celtics turnovers. 52 points off the Celtics turnovers in their two wins. The Warriors cannot beat the Celtics if the Celtics do not turn the basketball over. And I'm fine once in a while an aggressive play and you lose the ball or something along those lines. What I cannot deal with is these lazy passes dribbling off your foot like Jaylen Brown did against Bielitsa, of all people, dribbled it off his own foot, Jaylen Brown dropping the ball out of bounds, Tatum making some of the most mind-numbing passes you will ever see, Marcus Smart throwing the ball behind his head in one game. Those are the mistakes I cannot live with because you're just fueling what the Warriors are great at, their transition game. And the other thing about this, when the Celtics do that, they are taking away their strength. The Celtics were the best defensive team in the NBA this season. So when you let the Warriors get out on transition, your strength goes away. You don't get to set up that defense. It's all sort of cross matches. The Warriors get the numbers. That's what irritates me. You are taking away one of your biggest strengths. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Jeff. He's in New Bedford today. What's up, Jeff?
Hi. I like the show. You guys do a good job.
Thank you.
My question to you is, our comment is this. We hear about the players. How does everybody feel about the coaching?
I feel like for the most part, Ime Udoka's done a pretty good job in this series. I mean, I questioned him for going to the two big lineup early on in the series, but I got to take the L on that because the two big lineup has been working for them, Jeff. So I don't know what I would really critique about Ime Udoka in this series. Like, what do you want him to do more? Double Steph Curry? Is that what you're saying?
I just see that, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride through, you know, Milwaukee, Miami, and now we're back with Golden State.
Right.
Where we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. And I've heard, you know, they critiqued Kerr on that first game. You really don't read a lot about the coaching, you know, as in past NBA playoffs. You know, it's more about
all right, Jeff,
players.
I get it. But do you think the coach has an issue? Like, is that what your point is? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I just think that there could be some adjustments made where he just reins them in. He reins them in and says, "Hey, you know, we're throwing the ball away."
Jeff,
Jeff, hold on.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that Ime Udoka has not said to the guys, "Hey, we're turning the ball over too much"?
Yeah, I mean, but last night was crazy.
I'm with you, Jeff. But you know, I mean, come on. Like, I appreciate the call. Like, I thought he was going to critique something he was doing tactically, but he's telling me he wants Ime to tell the guys to stop turning the ball over. I'm pretty sure they're having those conversations. I'm pretty sure it's happening. You know that number I gave you about the 16 turnovers? They're 0-6 when they turn the ball over 16 times or more. I'm pretty sure that number, the Celtics are aware of it too. Really, I advocate that they do something with it on the broadcast. They really should. Like, we should know exactly where they're at from a turnover perspective. Because if they go 15 turnovers or less, they're 13-2. 16 or more, they're 0-6. Like, this is information. Are they on pace for 16? Because if they get to 16, it's going to be the end of the game. But I can't blame Ime for too much. If you want to complain about some of the ways they're defending Curry, it just feels like for the first time all season and postseason, Al's been a liability defensively. So they're having to sort of hide that guy. They're having to do different things when Curry gets him and tries to get him on a switch. I don't really know what else Ime can do. Let's get to Teddy and Newton. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to defend you, and I know you don't need defending, but the gentleman that said that you were negative, you know, when you state negative statistics, they're negative. But I know when you state positive statistics like you do for the Red Sox or the Celtics, even anytime, then it's positive. And I think you just bring in, you know, statistical clarity to what's going on. And I agree. Last night I was watching, I think they had 6 turnovers in the first quarter or shortly into the second quarter. I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yep.
You know, they're on pace for 24 and they calmed it down to 16 or whatever. And that stat is, I think, maybe the overriding stat. And it goes back to early in the playoffs when Tatum, or rather Brown, who I love, was couldn't dribble, you know.
Yep.
And these horrible passes, and I don't know how. I'm sure they can fix it. I'm not sure how they can fix it, but they. And I'm sure Udoka's telling them, but that's the key. That's the key.
And I think, Teddy, the thing that aggravates me, I don't want to speak for all Celtics fans. This team we know is better than the Warriors in terms of their overall depth. The Warriors, of course, have the best player, but this team is better from an overall standpoint. And the fact to see the way they're losing these games, it's just reckless and it's careless and it's not holding on to the basketball and it's letting the Warriors do what they do best and taking away your strength, which is setting up your defense. That's why I'm so aggravated and that's why I'm emotional about it today, is because it keeps happening throughout the postseason and the Celtics shoot themselves in the foot, and they may shoot themselves in the foot too many times to the point where they don't win a championship. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is the damn turnovers.
Agreed. And obviously it's the Celtics v. Curry on this one. You know, it was Celtics v. Durant. They beat that team. It was Celtics v. Antetokounmpo, or, you know, the star. They beat the Bucks. It was them against the Miami guy.
Yeah, Butler. Yep.
And they beat them, Butler. And so now it's them against Curry. And it's like, they're going to have to do it 4 times. And this other thing is, why do we expect you to be a sweep or a 5 or a 6, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that I know they were saying yesterday the 7s are unusual, but it's just the way these Celtics, you know, if when they get to punch through, they might not be able to punch through until the very, very end. Thanks for the call, Brian.
I appreciate it, Teddy. And it just feels like at some point, like we keep referencing the fact the Celtics are undefeated after losses in the postseason. We keep referencing how it's a great quality that they can bounce back. But eventually it is going to burn them. And it feels like it could happen against this Golden State team. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 6 o'clock. A lot more to get into. I do want to get into Marcus Smart's comments. We'll do that in a little bit. And in particular, Jason Tatum. What this series means so far for Jason Tatum, I'll get into it next here on EEI.
Now, more of the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
2 trailer park girls go round the outside.
All right, we're with you up until 6 o'clock, by the way. It's such a missed opportunity last night because the Garden was electric, and some of the signs, like, outside of the Garden, I saw a sign up, and they're all over Twitter, so if you're on social media, check them out. But one of the signs said, "Welcome to Boston, Karen Thompson," to Klay Thompson. Oh, my God. That's really what's irritating, too, right? Klay played pretty well last night, and you just wanted the Celtics to give it to Klay Thompson after complaining about the swearing. I mean, that was just absolutely embarrassing from Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson. But, hey, they had the last laugh last night with the win. But, man, those comments were just so embarrassing. Yeah, real classy, Boston. Swearing in front of kids. Okay. I mean, come on. It's 9 o'clock. It's an NBA game. Okay? If you're bringing your kid to the game, I think they know what's going on. And not to mention this. I hate when I say that, not to mention, because when I say not to mention, I'm actually going to mention it. But Draymond Green, he once flipped off Memphis Grizzlies fans in this same postseason, right? So he flipped off the fans in Memphis, yet none of the Warriors said, "Hey, Draymond, you can't do that because of the kids." Think about the kids here, Draymond. You can't do that. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't have an issue with Draymond doing that. I really don't. I'm not upset about that. It's hypocritical for Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr, who Steve Kerr said, yeah, classy, about the chants from the Celtics fans, to say stuff like that when their own player who was getting chanted at is a guy that flips off the fans. So that, to me, was just completely soft. And really, I felt like the Celtics were in the Warriors' heads when they're commenting about the crowd and not the game. Like, just get over it. This happens in all over the sports world. Heck, I mean, you go back to the series that the Warriors played against the Toronto Raptors. Those fans cheered when, and I'm not advocating for this, I thought this is as bad as it gets. Those fans chanted when Kevin Durant ruptured his Achilles. That's as bad as it gets. That's not what Celtics fans were doing. They were swearing at a sporting event. It happens all the time. Like, I like a little bit more creativity. Call me crazy on the chance. I like just the Draymond. Not that that's creative. I like that more than the F you Draymond, quite frankly. But that's just my preference. I don't have an issue with people swearing at sporting events. I mean, come on. It's basically at that point, it's a nightclub or a bar. It's 9 o'clock. So that was one of the missed opportunities last night as well, because the Garden crowd was flat out electric. 617-779-7937, the number. Do you have faith that this team can bounce back? So here's the thing I wanted to point out about Jason Tatum. So Tatum is on this run right now where it feels like every series we're sort of asking the question of, hey, where does he rank in the NBA? And then throughout this postseason run, it comes out that he's a first team all-NBA performer. And then the question was, hey, well, is he actually a top five guy in the league? We know he's an all-NBA player, but he's really a top five guy. So these are the questions that we continue to have with Tatum. And the reality is this with Tatum. In these matchups, he's only outplayed the opposing superstar in one series. And that was in the first one against Kevin Durant, where he was great against Kevin Durant defensively. And he had 29.5 points per game in that series compared to Durant that was at 26.3. And Durant shot 38% from the field. And when Tatum guarded him, it was significantly worse than that. So in that first round matchup, Tatum clearly won the individual battle, if you will, with the opposition superstar in Kevin Durant. But look throughout this postseason run. Giannis, 27.6 in terms of the numbers that Jason Tatum averaged in that series against Giannis, 27.6, 6.3, 5.4. Giannis in that series, 33.9, 14.7, 7.1. So in that Milwaukee Bucks series, yes, there were games where Tatum outplayed Giannis. He definitely outplayed him. You could argue whether he did in some of these games, but game six, he goes into Giannis's house. He has the 46 points. He has the 16 points in the fourth quarter. He goes 6 of 10 from the field. So yeah, he outplayed Giannis in some games, but overall in that series, I don't think anybody that watched that will come away from that series and say Tatum was the best player in the series. The first series, yes, Tatum was the best player. The second series against the Bucks, no, Giannis was. Then you go to the Eastern Conference Finals against Jimmy Butler in the Miami Heat. In that series, Jason Tatum wins the Larry Bird Award for the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals. You could argue if he should have won it, but you get the point. Butler in that series averaged 25.6, 7 and 3.5. Tatum in that series, 25, 8, and 5.6. So the numbers are relatively similar, but Butler had the bigger games, right? Butler had the two 40-point performances. Butler had the best game of the series in Game 6, coming into the Garden and disposing of the Celtics in that particular game and forcing the Game 7. So if you look at the totality of that series, I would argue that Butler was the better player. So Butler was the better player, Giannis was the better player, and of course Tatum was better than Durant. But, like, the Giannis one, it was pretty close. The Butler one, it was pretty close. Here's the problem for the Celtics in this series, and in particular for Tatum. It isn't close right now. Steph Curry in this series is averaging 34.3 points per game. He's shooting 50% from the field, and he's shooting 49% from three-point territory. Jason Tatum in this series, 22.3. So he is averaging 12 points less per game than the other team's best player, the other team's superstar, if you will. He's shooting 34.1% from the field. By the way, as we mentioned, Steph Curry's shooting 50%. So when you just look at it right now, it is crystal clear who the best player in the series is, and Tatum is not holding up his end of the bargain as it pertains to being that superstar guy. We all thought coming into the series, at least I did, I don't want to speak for everybody, that would be wrong of me to do, but you felt like Steph Curry, okay, yeah, he's the best player in the series. He's the greatest shooter to ever live, even though you look at some of his postseason numbers throughout this run here. This is by far his best series. But I felt entering the series, Steph Curry would be the best player. But can Tatum go, not technically shot for shot, but basically can Tatum compete at the same level as Steph Curry? Because he did that with Giannis and he did that with Butler. Even if those guys, in my mind, were slightly better than Tatum in those two series, it isn't like Tatum was significantly behind him. He matched him. He saved the season in Game 6 against Milwaukee when he went into Giannis's house and he beat them, right? Game 7, I felt Tatum played a relatively good game against Miami as well. He had good games in that series to sort of offset and match what Jimmy Butler's doing. In this series, Tatum has not come close to matching Steph Curry. Now, look, you still got three more games, and Tatum is very capable. I thought he was really good in Game 3, obviously. Tatum is very capable of having a big game and getting himself back into the conversation of the MVP of the series and all that, whoever cares about that. But right now, Jason Tatum as that guy that's supposed to elevate to that superstar level in this league, he's not close to Steph Curry in that series. Not even close. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 6 o'clock, and then I got Red Sox pregame for you later on at 9:10. So I do want to get into a couple of other things in terms of this game last night. And one of the things that we need to address is Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart in this game, he played a typical Marcus Smart game where a lot of those shots that he took, he said, no. And he does that all the time. He took 18 shots in this game. He was 7 of 18. He was 3 of 9 from 3-point territory at 18 points. He was a minus 17 from the field. But one of the things that you would look at in this game is more about what Marcus Smart did after the game than what he actually did during the game. That's one of the issues that you have in this thing, is Marcus Smart has said some things after games this season that have made you think, what the hell is the guy talking about? And he did it again last night. We'll get to it next here on EEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.